Blog Talk Radio.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Cash came out with that song, I Walk the Line, in 1956. And that was the very year that I was born. And so I can say to everyone here that I've been walking the line all my life, thanks to my mother and my Holy Catholic Church.
Thank you.
From man's earliest days, he has looked to the heavens for a being superior to himself. In the earliest annals of history, we find the results of this search. Zeus, chief of the gods of ancient Greece, who ruled by thunderbolt. Mars, the Roman god of war. Apollo, Thor, and other gods and goddesses that you'd better not cross if you know what's good for you. Then, gradually, from a single nation, emerges a god unlike any of the others that man had crafted for himself. This god didn't rule over man with an iron hand, but with a tender, sacred heart. He held out his hand in love to his creation, going so far as to sacrifice himself in atonement for the sins of mankind. The Greeks even had a name for him. They called this god the Unknown God, and even erected a temple to him. Years later, St. Paul would formally introduce him. And that is exactly why the Catholic Defender is here. Your host represents an unbroken line of succession to the apostles of the one called Jesus, the only one whose mercy and compassion overflows any container that tries to contain it. This is a God you really want to meet. We're here to make the introduction. This God is a God of judgment. However, first and foremost, he is a God of mercy and compassion. He won't turn you away. He holds out his hand in divine mercy to you and everyone. He loves you as you are, but he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. He'll forgive your sin, not condone it. So what are we waiting for? Let's meet your host, Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, one with answers to your most pressing questions. Now, here's Don Hartley.
And good morning, everyone. This very great day, April 27th, 2022. And some time ago, I came out with an article, Satan Hates the Rosary. And this is based from an exorcism from the Vatican exorcist, Father Gabriel Amorth. He's an exorcist in Rome who had died at the age of 91. And he asked the demon, "What are the virtues of the Madonna that make you angriest?" And this demon responded in this exorcism, "I am afraid when you use the Madonna's name, the Virgin Mary, the Mother of Jesus." And he asked this demon again, what are the virtues of the Madonna that make you angriest? And the demon responds again. He says, "She makes me angry because she is the humblest of all creatures and because I am the proudest, because she is the purest of all creatures and I am not, because of all creatures. She is the most obedient to God. And I am a rebel." And Father Amorth asks, "Tell me the fourth characteristic of the Madonna that makes you so afraid of her that you are more afraid when I say the Madonna's name than when I say the name of Jesus Christ." Well, the demon responded, "I am more afraid when you say the Madonna's name because I am more humiliated by being beaten by a simple creature than by him." Father Amorth asks, "Tell me the fourth characteristic of the Madonna that makes you most angry." And the demon came back and responded, "Because she, the Virgin Mary, always defeats me, because she was never compromised by any taint of sin." Ladies and gentlemen, she is the Immaculate Conception. Well, during an exorcism, Father Amorth remembers he recalls, Satan told me, through the possessed person, every Hail Mary of the rosary is a blow to the head for me. That's what the demon said. If Christians knew the power of the rosary, it would be the end of me. That is so, so important. And just something more about this Father Gabriel Amorth. He was one of the most influential exorcists of the Catholic Church of the 20th century. The priest fought all his life so that the Vatican would recognize the order of the exorcists and eventually achieved success. Now the exorcist priest have a structured, now they have a structured international association and clear intervention procedures. Starting in the 1980s, Father Amorth became one of the most convinced supporters of the veracity of the apparitions in Medjugorje. At the time, the church was investigating and for decades did not express an opinion on that phenomenon. Unfortunately, the exorcist could not see the recognition before he died. At the end of a long investigation, in fact, the Rumney Commission judged the first 7 apparitions to be authentic. Father Amorth's other great battle can be considered the recognition of the Medjugorje apparitions. The first journey of the priest in the place of Marian devotion took place in 1981, and already in that case, he was fully convinced of what we saw. In fact, in a secret notebook, the exorcist wrote, "The children, the seers, are sincere." That's what he says. They are sincere. In the presence of the Madonna, he believed blindly and with all of himself, convinced that the Bosnian visionaries and pilgrims were the Madonna's army against the evil one. Struck by the faith of these fears and by the fact that the Madonna had chosen that place to counter the advance of evil, Father Amorth came back several times. During each visit, the exorcist prayed, met pilgrims, and spoke with the visionaries. Then he would write down his impressions. Those notes today are in a book entitled An Army Against Evil. Today he would be satisfied with the opening of Pope Francis to this place, sanctioned by the presence of his vicar at the recent youth festival. Wow. Well, this is important. And so, according to a Catholic news agency report, Father Amorth, the renowned exorcist and vigorous supporter of Medjugorje, he called it a fortress against Satan. In Rome, released a book of memoirs in which he declares to know of the existence of satanic sects in the Vatican, where participation reaches all the way to the College of Cardinals. In the book of memoirs released in February, the noted Italian exorcist Father Gabriel Amorth affirmed that, yes, also in the Vatican, there are memoirs or members of satanic sects. When asked if members of the clergy are involved or if this is within the lay community, he responded, there are priests, monsignors, and also cardinals. The allegation of Father Amorth, who has said in the past that the scenes, he thought that what he has seen in some of the media and in the movies like The Exorcist, that there are some reality to it that are being recorded by Father Amorth, Memoirs of an Exorcist, My Life Fighting Against Satan, a series of interviews edited by Marco Tassotti. He asked Father Amorth, if Pope Benedict XVI himself knew of the existence of satanic sects in the Vatican. Of course he was informed, replied Father Amorth, but he does what he can. It's a horrifying thing. But Father Amorth, in an extensive interview, finds a remedy against Satan in Medjugorje. Surely Medjugorje is a fortress against Satan. Satan hates Medjugorje because it is a place of conversion, of prayer, of transformation of life. Wow. On Medjugorje, Father Amorth, the famous exorcist. Few people may not be aware of that he has been the most outspoken supporter of the special events taking place in Medjugorje. Medjugorje is a town in Bosnia where for over 28 years, the Blessed Mother is said to be appearing to six visionaries. Father Amorth, speaking about the apparitions, said, surely, Medjugorje is a fortress against Satan. Satan hates Medjugorje because it is a place of conversion, of prayer, of transformation of life. I always understood Medjugorje as a continuation of Fatima, according to Our Lady's words in Fatima. If we had prayed and fasted, there would not have been World War II. We have not listened to her, and therefore there was a war. Also here in Medjugorje, Our Lady often calls to prayer for peace. In her apparitions, Our Lady always presents herself under another name to show the goal of her apparitions. At Lourdes, she presented herself as the Immaculate Conception. In Fatima, as the Queen of the Holy Rosary. Here in Medjugorje, Our Lady presented herself as the Queen of Peace. We all remember the words, Mir, 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 Peace, 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 that were written in the sky at the very beginning of the apparitions. We see clearly that humanity is running the risk of war, and Our Lady insists on prayer and on Christian life to attain peace. Medjugorje is really a place where one learns to pray, but also to sacrifice oneself, where people are converted and changed and change their lives. The influence of Medjugorje is worldwide. It is enough to think about how many prayer groups came about thanks to the inspiration of Medjugorje. And that, I have to say, I came up with an article here, The Importance of Catholic Men, Fathers Praying the Rosary. The family that prays together stays together. How important that statement is. When the father is leading his family and the wife is 100% with him and instructing their children in the faith, the Catholic faith, the children respond far more positive than when the mom is trying to act as father, mother, leader. Of children born since 1984, more than 60% will spend an average of 5 years of their childhood in a single parent family. There is about 100 verses in the Bible that speaks to fathers leading their families and giving good, sound advice. King David on his deathbed told Solomon, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies. St. Paul wrote to St. Timothy, have nothing to do with godless and silly myths. Train yourself in godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7-9. I remember one of my basketball coaches in college who shared with me what he remembered most important growing up in his family. It wasn't the family vacations, the money that mom and dad brought in. It was when his parents took the children and led them in prayer as a family, primarily the rosary. I thought this was so profound when he shared that with me. I never forgot it. The vacations and work was important. The family must be responsible, and there must be time for play, but to share their love with each other, praying together, pleases the King of Kings. Jesus blesses these memories and builds upon them to instill simple men and women to be great, to rise up to the challenges that we face. My coach could have easily recalled St. Paul writing, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Ephesians 6, 1-4. Fathers give the greatest blessings to their children by leading them in family prayer and devotions. On 10 April 1986, a terrible training accident happened late at night when a Black Hawk helicopter collided with a Chinook over the swamps at Fort Stewart, Georgia. It was not far from the on-post housing complex where we lived. The wreckage was spread out over a fairly large area in the woods. JP4 fuel had leaked out all over the place. You could have lit a match and the whole place would have blown up. Just wading the swamp, my boots had to be thrown away. My BDU bottoms had to be thrown away. I had sores on my legs that lasted for months. As medics, I was among the first on the scene in retrieving the bodies of those who had lost their lives in this tragic accident. We had to carry them at least 100 yards out of that swamp to where we could take them to the ambulances. As we carried them, all I could do was pray for them. I was praying the rosary and the rosary for them as we carried them. There were 8 of them who died in this accident. May the Lord shine his perpetual light upon them, and may they rest in his peace. A continuation of this story takes place while I was in Iraq during OIF 2006-2008 deployments. Another friend of mine, Steve Ray, a Catholic apologist, convert to the Catholic faith, asked me to send him a story of my conversion, a reversion to the Catholic faith. The Diocese of New Orleans had encouraged me to write an autobiography, so I have the rough draft of this story on his website, Defenders of the Catholic Faith. One day, Steve's message board sent out flags trying to get my attention on the board. A gentleman was reading through Steve's conversion stories and found my story. Now, my story is more than 200 pages, and when he reached page 80, he read this story about the helicopter crash. Upon reading this, he reached Steve Ray, wanted to get a hold of me. He relayed the story that his brother was one of the soldiers who had died that day. Even though it was more than 20 years after the incident, it meant something to him to know that someone was praying for his brother at the scene of the accident. That was very humbling to me, that this meant so that much to someone. some very serious facts to consider from an article that I had put out, The Rise of the Fatherless. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes, five times the average. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 70% of youths in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youths in prison come from fatherless homes. It is clear that there are many young people today that are not being equipped to fight the battle of life. Even should you speak to them about the faith, many times it shoots right past them because they do not have or know the language. Nearly 800,000 people die by suicide in the world each year, which is roughly one death every 40 seconds. Suicide is the second leading cause of death in the world for those ages 15 to 24 years. Depression is the leading cause of disability worldwide. The following is from an earlier article, Are Condoms Safe? This is something that I put out too. STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, are the most common diseases in America, next to the common cold and flu. There are 20 million new STD cases are reported each year. That's about 60,000 a day. 65 million, nearly 80 million Americans are infected with an incurable STD. There are now more than 60 different kinds of STDs that exist. 20 different STDs are rampant among teenagers. 63% of all STDs occur in persons less than 25 years of age. One in four teenagers are diagnosed with an STD, infecting millions of teenagers each year, and that is growing. Last year, it was reported that one out of four girls have been diagnosed down to the age of 12. 60 to 80% infected with an STD do not develop initial symptoms. AIDS had been a leading cause of death among 18 to 25 years old, despite wonder drugs and that help extend life. There's no cure. The following statements reveal the danger condoms present in acquiring STDs. The destruction of many families has wounded our country. To strengthen our nation, we must strengthen our families. It is important that we return to God with all our hearts. Our Lady's peace plan from heaven is a most important opportunity. Cardinal Burke, he came out with a 54-day rosary novena, which is a great reminder for prayer for our nation, a call to arms to stand up against the flood of evil. Isaiah 59:19-20, and he will come to Zion as Redeemer to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, says the Lord. Turn, and thou as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord, my spirit which is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, or out of the mouth of your children, or out of the mouths of your children's children, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. And Father Calloway, he came out with a wonderful, there's a consecration to St. Joseph, which is having a great positive response, especially among men. We need to take advantage of these opportunities to grow in our faith. That should be the rule of any man. And the rosary is a great weapon to fight the battle of life. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for listening in to pray for this country, to pray for the United States of America, to pray for those who are under what's going on in Ukraine, those who who have been left behind in darkness in Afghanistan and wherever else that darkness reigns. Pray for the light of Jesus to pierce through that darkness, and that we be his servants. That is our goal. That is our intent to do so. So pray for our country. We have the need to do so. We have the great gifts to go to Mass, to receive the sacraments, to receive the Eucharist, to pray the rosary, to lift high the cross. That is what we're about. So we have a crossroad. Let us go forward and live for our Lord, live for our Catholic faith. Good night, everybody. Or good day, everybody.